Everybody, it's good to see you back at church. Summer is here, praise the Lord. What a privilege it is to live in a town like this. It's a blessing from God. On that note, I want to share on being thankful. For a couple of weeks, I've been sharing around God's mercy, God's grace, and God's peace. This morning I want to continue with our response to God's mercy. Mercy is not receiving what we deserve. And our response to that, our response to God sending His Son to become sin, our sin, and to be punished so that we may receive what we do not deserve, which is forgiveness and redemption. What is our response to that? God's grace towards us by getting more than what we deserve, by being adopted into His family, being granted eternal life and an inheritance waiting for us. Our response to that. And then, of course, God's peace, that inner calm of knowing we have a relationship, a right relationship with God, that we are safe in His hands. We belong to Him. What should our response be to God's peace? These are all central to our salvation. Today, I want to speak of the fruit of our salvation, which is thankfulness and joy. A couple of weeks ago, we mentioned Luke 17 and the account of the 10 lepers, which is such a beautiful response to God's mercy and grace on those who call out on Him. And I want us just to reflect again as an introduction here from verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. I want us to close our eyes for a moment and just reflect on our own salvation. While your eyes are closed, our salvation is far greater than healing from leprosy. What should our response be? What should our response be? You may open your eyes. Salvation is far more than forgiveness. It is redemption. It is being adopted into the family of God, being granted eternal life and an inheritance that cannot be stolen, cannot be lost, guarded by the power of God waiting for us. An inheritance far greater than anything you can achieve, attain, or gather in this life. Waiting. What should our response be? If a man cleansed of leprosy were to glorify God with a loud voice, fall at his feet and thank Him and worship Him, how much more should our attitude be the same every day when we are reminded of what God has given us through Christ Jesus? These are all eternal realities that we have been blessed with without merit. We did not earn it, nor did we achieve it. It was granted to us by grace. These realities are far more precious and valuable than anything on the earth. And our minimum response to what we have received is thankfulness and great joy. This is a reality that we stand in every day. And therefore, our response should be the same every day. In 1 Peter 1:3-9, we read the following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's worship. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, by whom God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. This is what we rejoice in. What God has given us, eternal realities. These are eternal realities that we rejoice in. And then we continue to read further in this very same verse. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to the result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible, filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, what we rejoice in is eternal realities. What we are grieved by is temporal hardship. We have eternal realities versus temporal hardship. We rejoice in the eternal things while, if need be, grieved by the temporal hardships of this life. Paul says in Romans 8:16-18, the Spirit Himself, speaking about the eternal realities, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His suffering, in order that we will also share in His glory. For I consider that our present suffering are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And again, we see the eternal realities versus the temporal hardship. So our response to salvation and all the blessings that accompany it should always be thankfulness and joy. 1 Thessalonians 5 puts it this way, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Joy and thankfulness are a central part of salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it is God's will for us to be thankful and full of joy always. It is God's will for us. But before I continue in this blessing of joy and thankfulness, I want us to consider the opposite of thankfulness. The opposite of thankfulness is complaining. Who of you are parents? Who of you love it when your kids complain? Anyone? Does anyone love complaining? You know, you spend hours preparing a meal for your children and then they complain saying, why must we eat the same again? Don't you just love that? Or you sacrifice to go on holiday and when you finally leave, they complain because it takes so long to get there. Or they don't like the accommodation. I mean, don't you just love complaining? Did you know that God doesn't like complaining either? As a matter of fact, God hates complaining. God saves Israel from slavery, leads them out of Egypt, makes them his own special people, and promises them a land full of milk and honey. And on the way there, they complain. They complain about the same food and the long journey. And God gets angry about their complaining because of their ungratefulness, their unthankfulness for what he has done and what he has promised. We read in Numbers 11 verse 1, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned amongst them and consumed some of the outlying parts of the camp. You see, God hates complaining because it is not thankful for what he has done and what he has promised. In 1 Corinthians 10, we read of Paul instructing us of the example that was recorded for us in the life of Israel, lest we fall into the same sin and be consumed by God. And he says the following, and do not become idolatrous as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up and play. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain as some of them also complained and was destroyed by the destroyer. It's very scary, but the Bible places complaining to God in the same light as sexual immorality, idolatry, and tempting God, which is serious sins. That is why we are commanded to always be thankful. Always be thankful. Because it is the right response to what God has done. It is the right response to everything that he has promised. And it is the right response to the God who upholds us in his hand. Is to be thankful. Always. In all circumstances. Because of what he has done, what he has promised, and who he is. And so Hebrews 12 verse 28 says, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Lord, forgive us for complaining when you have been faithful. 1 Thessalonians, I'll read it again. It says, rejoice always and pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. You see, once we are in Christ Jesus, we have attained everything that he has promised. And therefore, we should always be thankful. Because what he has promised is eternal and waiting for us. Not only is thankfulness the right response, it is the will of God for us. You know, we pray that prayer, your kingdom come and your will be done. And often we think about God's will is whether I should be in PE or Cape Town. And God says, that's not my will. My will is for you to be thankful whether you're in PE or Cape Town. That is my will for you. Colossians 3 verse 15 to 17 says it so powerfully. It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's God's will for us. Always, in every circumstance, being thankful, for we have been saved and we are moving to our promised land. But thankfulness is not just a rational response. It is also a reflection of joy in the heart. And so it's not just the choice that we make in response to what we have received. It is also an overflow of a reality in our hearts. True Christian joy reflects a delight in God and our peace with Him. It is a blessing that flows from God to those who have a relationship with Him. God blesses us with joy in our knowing of Him. Christian joy is deeper than emotional happiness, which often depends on outward circumstances. But this emotion, this joy, is based on God's immeasurable love for us and the peace and hope that we have because of what Christ has done for us. And because we know Him personally, it fills our hearts with great joy. But God also blesses us with joy. And our greatest joy will be when we meet Him one day face to face. It will be our greatest joy to finally see you face to face. So how do we grow in this joy? God's word teaches us the following things about joy. Firstly, joy is directly related to our salvation and personal relationship with Him. It is directly related to our salvation and personal relationship with Him. The more we understand salvation, the more we understand what God has done for us and promised us, the greater is the joy in us. And also, the closer we are in our relationship with Him, the greater our faith is in Him, and our relationship with Him, the greater is the joy that we experience. So the word says our joy increases, is built on and established in our faith and relationship with God through salvation. Secondly, joy comes from God. It is a blessing to us. It is a gift given to us. It is a fruit of the Spirit. As we receive the Holy Spirit in us, one of the results of the Spirit of God in us, Galatians 5, remember verse 22. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of the first fruits. Love, joy, peace. Joy does not come automatically, but is experienced only when we remain in a growing personal relationship with God. It doesn't just happen either. It is found in a living relationship with God. John 15, we know so well, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, neither unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." And so the more we abide in Him, the more the fruit of joy is formed in us. Our joy increases when we abide in Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives us a deep sense of belonging, love, nearness, and His presence in our lives. This causes great joy. Thirdly, joy is directly connected to the Word of God. The more we understand, the more joy there is. For this reason, true joy does not increase or decrease depending on our feelings or circumstances, because it's based on the knowledge of the unchanging Word of God. So my joy doesn't increase or decrease because of my circumstances. It increases because of my knowledge of who God is, what he has done and what he has promised. And that I have in the Word of God. What Christ has already accomplished for us and his promises for us. Jesus also taught us that complete joy is directly connected to knowing him and obeying his commands. It's interesting, not just knowing his commands, knowing his promises, but actually living according to it. If you live according to his commands, you will have great joy. He says here in John 15, he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. It is God's way. It is different to this world's ways. God says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But this is the way for fullness of joy. To know me, to know my words, and to live according to it, you will have fullness of joy. Because it's not just about God's word and our understanding and knowing it. It is because God's word leads us closer to God. It is the way that leads to God. And so the more we follow it, it is like a great adventure. I don't know if you've ever done one of these adventure races where you like go from point A to point B and at every point you get a clue to get to the next point. Who if you've ever done one of those things? What great fun. And finally you get to the great prize. Well, that's the Word of God. It is like, it is a clue that leads you to another clue, that leads you to another clue, that finally leads you to understanding God more. And there's so great joy in discovering something new about God. And it's so amazing, the more we search diligently, passionately to know him more, the more he reveals himself to us. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's just part of his character. Part of God's character. You know, there are things that God loves and blesses. There are things that God hates. Find out what blesses God, what he loves, and do those things. At the same time, find out what he hates and stay away from it. It will lead to great blessing. God hates complaining, so stop doing that. Rather be thankful and receive the blessing and favor of God. Amen? That was for free. It took me years to figure that out. Joy comes from the comfort and delight of God's relationship and closeness with us. The fact that he is with me causes great joy. He is with you. Remember the peace of God? You are safe in his hands. The fact that I know that God is with me, no matter what I'm going through, I know God is with me. That gives me great joy. Because there's nothing greater than knowing that he's with me. Our men probably understands that more because, you know, we relate more when we do things together. Have you noticed that? Men bond when they do things together. Women don't understand that. You know, women bond by sharing information. We bond by just like being around the fire. It's just like we're prying together. You know, so you know, how was the evening? That was amazing. And we really bonded. So what's going on in his life? I don't know. We were prying together. That's how we bond. Just knowing that God is with me brings great joy. True joy cannot be destroyed by pain, suffering, weakness, or difficult circumstances because God never leaves us during these difficulties. Because he never leaves me when I go through these things. My joy never leaves me. And I can face it with great joy. And so the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. That's how the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. My strength is not because I'm never challenged. My strength is, even though I'm challenged, I can bear it. Even though I'm challenged, I am strong. Why? Because God is with me. And so the joy of the Lord becomes our strength in all circumstances. It becomes our strength for serving God and fulfilling his purpose in our lives. And therefore, I want to conclude with these two verses. In Philippians 4, we know it so well, and we spend some time around this. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is near. He's with you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And here's my prayer for each and every one of us, individually and as a church. It's Colossians 2, verse 6 to 7. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Just like you accepted him as Lord, you must continue. You must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Thankfulness is a rational and emotional response to God's mercy and grace and peace. It is a rational and emotional response. Let us always, in every circumstance, overflow with thankfulness and joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, and the peace we have with you, that we are safe in your hands, that you have chosen us, you have plucked us out of darkness, and you've brought us into your marvelous light. You have washed us, cleansed us, You have clothed us with the righteousness of your Son, and you have sealed us with the same Spirit that was in him as in us. As a guarantee that we belong to you, that we have an inheritance with you waiting for us. Lord, I pray that these realities, Lord, will become more and more real to us. Lord, grant us to understand what you have done for us and given us. Grant us to see and know how great, powerful, and awesome you are. Wise and loving. How much you love us. Help us, Lord, to respond with great joy and thankfulness. Give us faith, Lord, to believe and trust in you. Because with that comes great joy. Help us to discover more of you as we search for you. Help us to understand that fullness of joy is not in this world. It is only found in you. It's only found in love for you. Love for this world and things in this world is meaningless because your love is not in it. It's only in you. And so God, I pray that you'll grant us to understand this and to follow you. I want you just take a moment and just reflect on these words, on God's words. And how you would respond to him, just in your own words. I'm going to give you some time just to respond to God in your own words to today's sermon. Sometimes our emotions follow our decisions. Just like love is a choice, at times may be driven by emotions, but it only lasts because we choose to love. And the more you choose to love, the more the emotions will grow. It's far more sustaining to have it that way around. But maybe you are here today and some do not feel joy. You do not feel joy in your heart, nor are you thankful for your circumstance. Perhaps it is because your joy is still linked to your circumstance, which is just temporal hardship. It too will pass. I want to encourage you. You're looking at the present as if it is your future. Your present is not your future. Your future is God. His salvation. His provision. His will and plan for your life. That is your joy. not this temporal hardship you may face. God is saying to you this morning, look at me. I am your Savior. I am your Redeemer. I am your God. Your Provider. Listen to me. Some of you do not have a cooking clue what I'm talking about. It's okay. What you have to do is you have to let go. You have to surrender. You have to trust. You have to trust God. There's a saying that goes, let go and let God. It's not that simple. It's only halfway. Yes, you've got to let go. You've got to trust Him. You've got to let go of your own reasoning, your own power, your own ability. You've got to let it go. And you've got to trust God to let Him do. But here's the thing. The way He does is He is a shepherd. He doesn't just give you peace. He says, follow me. And I will lead you to where there's peace. I'm not going to give it to you here. I want you to let go and trust me. And then you need to follow me. Because I'm going to lead you. Your peace is not there. That's why you need to follow me. I'm going to lead you to where there's peace. So when you let go, it's not just let God. No, it is follow God. Oh, and He will lead you. But where He leads and how He leads is not going to make sense most of the time. Because His ways and His thoughts are not ours. So He might lead you through a desert before you get to the land of milk and honey. And when He leads you through places you didn't see coming or know where you're going, and it's difficult on the way, don't complain. Don't look back to the fly spot of, just keep on flying. That's just the way He does things. It's just who He is. You've got to trust Him. And the only way He will know that you trust Him is if you obey Him. When He leads you through difficult places. It's just His wisdom. But when you do, Psalm 23 will be yours. As much as it was David's. Because he also had to just trust God and follow Him. in the things that God called him to do. I'm going to anoint you as king. But I'm going to let Saul kill you, try to kill you for 20 years. You just got to follow me, trust me. I'm going to close with Psalm 23. You can close your eyes and just meditate on these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, I pray that this will be ours until our joy is complete when we stand before you face to face. Give us the boldness, the faith and the trust in you to follow you. And by every step, we get to know you more and our joy becomes more and more. Help us to remain faithful and thankful all the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you need some prayer, if you're going through a difficult time, some of us are going to be here at the end and